Just because something is invisible does not mean it's not there. The air we breathe is invisible, and it's very real. Angels are normally invisible as they do God's work on behalf of the redeemed. But sometimes God lets us see them, as when Elisha confronted an enemy king's men. Today, more about angels, the work they do, and what it means as we live in the visible world. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 as we wrap up a message on angels, God's invisible agents.
Are you just simply asking God, or are you thanking God? If you begin to thank God, after all, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you begin to thank God for situations even that are distressful, if you begin to thank God for battles that are taking place in your soul, because you see the greater glory that comes to God when those battles are won, even as we heard in this marvelous testimony this morning, when you begin to live that way, then you begin to realize that God is in control and your eyes are opened. And as for the Syrians, God blinded them. And then when they got to Samaria, God opened their eyes. What a miracle that was. And they discovered that there they are in Samaria, right where the king is, the king that they were not looking for, namely the king of Israel. Finally, it's not necessary for us to see angels in order to appreciate them. It's not necessary for us to see angels in order to appreciate them. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened if the servant had not had his eyes opened? Would the horses and chariots of fire have been around the mountain anyway? Of course. We don't see angels. To my way of thinking, I don't think that I have ever seen one, though I live with somebody who comes close to that. I'll just let that remark float out there, and you can do with it whatever you want. But we don't see angels. In fact, here's the interesting thing. Look at the text. God never even used these chariots of fire. They were just on call in case he needed them. I don't see any work here on the part of the chariots of fire. The army comes towards Elisha and he says, God blind them, and God blinded them. He prayed to the Lord. Obviously, he didn't pray to the angels. Don't ever do that. But he prays to the Lord and he blinds them. God blinds them. And that's the way the victory was won. And all right, angels, you can all go home now. The matter has been taken care of. I believe that God always has angels on call because they love to serve, not because he actually needs them, but they love to be used. And sometimes he doesn't use them when it may appear as if it's rational to do so. Here's Jesus being carried away, and what does he say? Peter is taking out his sword and slapping the high priest and cutting off his ear. And Jesus said, could I not have called 10 legions of angels to deliver me? Wow. I forget how many 10 legions are, but it's plenty. And I see these angels just hovering over Jesus and saying, just give us the command and we'll take care of everybody who's crucifying you and everybody who's ever hated you. We'll just get rid of them. Zap. Jesus said, I could call you, but I'm not. I'm glad they're there. And sometimes God does not allow angels to protect us. You know that there are times when, and there are, I believe, guardian angels based on Matthew 18, at least for children. Sometimes God does not have those angels protect the children. And we've had some terrible examples in the news recently where that has happened. But they're on call. The angels are on call. But God has different purposes, and so he may not use them. And even here, the chariots of fire were more for the servant than they were because God decided to use the angels in a victory, though sometimes he does. Now, the Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. How do they minister to us, and how do we appreciate them even if we don't see them? First of all, they rejoice when you were converted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, he says, if a woman is looking for a coin and can't find it, and then she rejoices when the coin is found. A little personal word here. On Friday, I made the notes for this message, and then I finished them yesterday morning, and suddenly the notes disappear. I mean, I looked everywhere. Rebecca was beginning to help me look for these notes. Must have spent a half. And there they were. They were on my desk just moments ago. That was the unbelievable thing. I had just finished them. What happened to them? Have you ever had the experience of losing something and you look in 100 places where it could never possibly be? That was me looking for these notes yesterday. I didn't want to redo these notes, and I didn't have to. They were actually interspersed with some other sermon notes, so I'm glad I eventually found them. But here's the point that Jesus is making. He's saying, if a woman with a coin rejoices when the coin is found, if indeed somebody rejoices because some pieces of paper were found, how much more will the angels in heaven rejoice when a soul repents? Could I ask you a question? Have you caused the angels in heaven to rejoice? Was there a cosmic celebration in heaven because you came to saving faith in Christ and you believed on him, and all of heaven said, wow, another believer, praise God. Yeah. That's what happens at your conversion. Then, of course, they protect us during our lifetime. I already mentioned sometimes that is not an absolute kind of protection. It's all governed by God. And then they welcome us into heaven. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, where you have the rich man who dies and he goes into Hades, and then you have this Lazarus who's the poor beggar. And the big contrast there is, here's a man with the money, and he is lost, and here's someone who begs at his table and eats with the dogs under the table. And lo and behold, because of his faith in Jesus Christ and in Jehovah, he gets to go to Abraham's bosom, and it says, angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. As you probably know, I have never died. But I suspect that when I do, and when you do, and when my parents did, yes, they would see Jesus in a moment of time, but even before that, there may be angels that carry them to where Jesus is. Those angels, don't ever worship them, but you know, I have to say this. I admire those angels for this reason. The Bible says when it comes to salvation, it says in 1 Peter, it says that regarding salvation and the time of Jesus Christ's coming, these were things that the angels desire to look into. They are so enamored with our redemption. And catch this, they don't have 1 ounce of jealousy, even though someday we're going to be elevated above them. No question about it. We will be above the angels. And the reason is angels can serve God and they can do these wonderful things, but one thing an angel can never do is to be a brother of Jesus. And the Bible says that because we are brothers of Jesus, we become heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus inherits, the Bible says we'll inherit because of him. And the angels know that and still love us and still rejoice in our redemption. Not an ounce of envy in these marvelous beings that God has created. Well, the question is, how do we prepare for the unseen world? Well, we've already hinted at it, and that is this, that the unseen world, the Bible says, is eternal. The seen world is temporal. Everything is going to be burned up, the Bible says. All of our sermon notes are going to be burned up. possibly before the end of time, might I say. Everything we've ever created, it's all going to be burned up. What manner of people ought we to be? Well, the answer, of course, is this, that it's through faith in Jesus Christ and trusting Him as our Savior and receiving His grace and His love, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man comes into that unseen world prepared for heaven apart from me. So where is your soul today? Have you trusted Christ as Savior, or are you kind of trusting the fact that you're a nice person? That might make you a good neighbor, but it'll never take you to heaven. Jesus is the way, the only way. I urge you to believe on Him and be saved. And let's remember, we can draw strength from the invisible world, the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, while we live in a very visible, confusing world. Would you join me as we pray? And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, even while I'm praying, why don't you reach up to Him and say, Jesus, today I believe on You. I want to cause the angels in heaven to have a celebration because I receive Him as mine. Father, help us to be encouraged when we realize that we have more on our side than others do on theirs. And even though we may experience death and destruction and health issues and financial issues, at the end of the day, You are ready with so many options to help us. And You do help Your people. Give us confidence today, O God, we ask, and build our faith. Show us our inheritance that we might give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Pastor Luther, and as I concluded this particular message is titled Angels, God's Invisible Agents, can't help but think that someone is listening today, maybe many, and you've never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You have this great sense within you that indeed there is an invisible world. There's the world of God and angels and demons, but you live in your own world. If God has prepared you for this moment, if you have a sense of need and of guilt, would you come to Him? Would you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you can be connected to God? It is Jesus that makes the invisible God visible to us. Well, the message that you have just listened to is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Invisible World. Next time, I'm going to be speaking on the topic Jesus, the devil, and you. And if you stay tuned, in a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours and how you can connect with us. Thanks in advance for your encouragement and for your prayers from my heart to yours. Have a good day, all day. God bless.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Angels, God's Invisible Agents. Another message in an 8-part series on the invisible world. Tomorrow, we turn to Zechariah chapter 3 for a message on Jesus, the devil, and you. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.